Every family has them, doesn't they? Don't they? The black sheep of the family. They're the people that people sort of basically dread turning up at an occasion. They turn up. They will lower the tone distinctively. You're always edgy as to what they're going to do and what they're going to say. I can remember some years ago sitting on a table at a wedding, and there was a character on there, and I was listening to him speak, and it didn't sort of surprise me later when I found he'd been done for some sort of drug smuggling or something like that, or his friend said, oh, he'd never do that. It struck me that he was the kind of guy who could do that, and probably you can imagine some of his relations would have perhaps been a bit bothered or a bit worried if he turned up at an event. Well, perhaps almost sort of mixing metaphors or puns here. The shepherds who were so used to seeing in nativity scenes, kneeling before the infant Jesus, immaculately turned out, were very much the black sheep, not of of society or the family of Israel. They are not as we would want to imagine them. And what was the problem with shepherds? Well, quite simply this. They were seen as outcasts. There were several reasons for that. One was something they couldn't do much about. They couldn't keep the ceremonial law, so they were kind of sniffed at and looked down on, which was, to be fair, very unfair, wasn't it? They couldn't keep ceremonial law. But there was another thing about them. There was an old saying, they confused mine with thine. They were the ones who would be light-fingered around things. They were not to be trusted. I remember some years ago I did a little children's talk. We were doing a Christmas service, and I did a sort of thing. I made up some visual aids and I did a poll. What were shepherds likely to be doing? Were they keeping the sheep? And actually, what we came to, I had sort of percentage. The percentage was low. Those who would not sort of skive off and do something else. I'd give them various sort of examples. Were they getting hammered on date wine? Some of them would have. But here we have a group of shepherds. We don't know exactly much about them. We can perhaps think that they were perhaps more pious. They were looked down and it wasn't perhaps deserved in their case. But to be honest, we don't know. We don't really know much about them. What we do know is for the birth of a king, they'd be the last kind of people you'd expect there. They were shunned. Why would they have any interest in this at all? Well, there was a problem with them, as I said. But what's the solution to their problem? Because, you see, their problem is just really, if we magnify it up, it's our problem. Whereas society looked down on them because they were disruptible and on the edge of things. We're in a position when it comes to the Lord Jesus, to our Maker and our Creator, where we have nothing in common in terms of spirituality. Yes, we're made in God's image, but the problem is we are not what we should be. What's the solution to the shepherd's problem and our problem? Well, we find it in the reaction of the angels and the message of the angel. The angel's message to the shepherds is very, very interesting. It's basically saying this. It's an invite, isn't it? The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. What do we see there? We see a very natural reaction. The appearance of an angel, a supernatural being, a creature that displays the glory of heaven, is completely unnatural to these shepherds, and they're terrified. It's a picture, really, that we need to regain, I think. A picture of God that gives him his right place, gives him his glory. There's this verse. It's been talking about our sin. The context of the verse is talking about sin and the fact that we are not as we should be. And it's from the book of Hebrews and verse chapter 10, verse 31. And it concludes when it says this is where we are in relation to God. It concludes, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And these shepherds see the glory of heaven and they see the glory of the Lord. Which it says, the glory of the Lord shone around them. And it is just such a direct spotlight on them and who they are, that they are terrified. But actually, it's the solution. The angel comes not to terrify them, but to say there is a way you can be reconciled. Look at verse 10. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Luke has an emphasis in his gospel on evangelism. He has an emphasis on telling people. And rather interestingly, in the Greek, that proclamation, that great message of the angel can be translated, I preach this to you. So it's like this, isn't it? It then becomes, I preach to you great joy that will be for all people. It's a proclamation. And it's amazing, isn't it? It's not for the religious people. It's not for those who observe the law. It's for everybody. It's for the one who follows religion and thinks that's good enough. It's to give up that and look to God and his direct message and the joy that will bring. It's for the ones like the shepherds who are the other end of the scale, who never believe that the Lord could reach out to them, who will never be able to do the ceremonies which they think might make them holy or give them any credence with God. Doesn't matter. Here's a message of God reaching out to you. See, the point is this, it's the new age. The Bible really only recognizes two ages. Everything from creation and from the fall. And then Jesus' coming and the new age. The new covenant, a covenant of grace. A covenant where God steps in and basically says, the message of the gospel, I know your deeds will never cut it. But I'm going to extend grace and mercy to you. Now, this is another thing. Here's my third point. It's something we often miss. Why on earth would God do this? Why does God care about our problems? There tends to be a reaction today that he's God. He should. Why should he? When we're so removed from him. When we're so sinful. When we fail constantly, as I said, sin is missing the mark, it's falling short. When even our best deeds, as it says, Jeremiah, are considered filthy rags. What would a holy God want with us? It's all the more remarkable, this message. You see, the shepherd's first reaction is the right one, terror. It's all the more remarkable when you consider who God is. Just look at the angels' praise to God. It says, verse 13, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." God is glorious. We are not. But God is going to extend his favour. Here's the remarkable thing. You see, the angels look at that and they don't sort of do what we do. We sometimes, perhaps we've had a conviction of sin, a genuine conviction of sin, but after a while we tend to think that we are doing pretty well for God, or we're doing the right things. We attend the right church where the gospel is preached regularly. We do our quiet time regularly. We're very zealous in it. We put, you know, so much in the collection. We're hospitable to people and charitable to people. And we start living by a religion of works. But here's the incredible thing. The angels marvel at the fact that God's favour will be extended to all. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, there's a marvellous phrase in the second part of that verse. It says, and it's been talking about the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. And by the glories that would follow, the fact that Christ would redeem, Christ would be exalted because of his rescuing of sinners. It says this, even angels long to look into these things. And there's something here, this is something, you may not realise this, if you are saved, if you know your Lord and Saviour, angels, in a right sort of way, almost envy you. Because they are made. They experience the glory of God. And they are thinking in their minds, and it's almost as if they are peeping over the rim of heaven, as it were, metaphorically speaking, and looking down and saying, what does it feel like to be redeemed? What does it feel like? We know God's glory. We know his goodness. We worship in his presence. And God reaches out to these creatures who are so undeserving. And they don't just glorify God and sort of do something because, you know, like we have at some Christmas services, because that's what Christmas is about. They do it because they're seeing something extraordinary happening. And I'll come back to that in a second. But I'm just going to leave you with this for the moment. They praise him. And there's one other place in the Bible where it particularly mentions praise. And that is in the book of Job. In the book of Job, we read about the angels praising God during creation. It says this. This is Lord questioning Job. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched out a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. You see, they looked at creation and they were overwhelmed by the God's majesty and goodness in that. And here we see them singing, shouting and praising God again, because this is going to be about the recreation of human hearts. It's a new creation. It's a new creation. And that's important. To conclude, what does this do for the shepherds? Well, they think about all they've seen and they've heard, and it's let us go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They realise the privilege of it. If they'd known their scripture, they probably were terrified when they saw the angels that they would be struck down dead or something like that. But now they realise they've been privileged. So they go off. They see everything. As we note in verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They realize their unique place. What a privilege they've been given. And it's so good, verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed by what the shepherds said to them. Probably the content was amazing, but the fact it was coming from shepherds, it was even more amazing. It's extraordinary, isn't it? They cannot keep it to themselves, the good news of Christ, and neither should we. Mary, we note, treasured these things and pondered them. I often wonder whether Luke, he seems to have researched and been a bit like an investigative journalist. He probably sat down with Mary at some time, or at least someone close to her, who either passed on his reminiscing or Mary was reminiscing and saying, I did not understand the full implications of this at the time, but it stuck with me. What an extraordinary thing to happen. What an extraordinary thing to have the riffraff turn up, praising God, and then go praising God because of the child she'd born. Let's go back to the angels and this new creation, because this is important and it has important lessons for us today. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The point is this. A new creation is starting from scratch. And that, if we are going to come and repent to God, it means laying out everything in our lives before him. Who we are, what we do, our sexuality, everything. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, and I'm going to read. This is Paul drawing a conclusion about what has happened. What has happened with grace increasing, God reaching out to people. And he says this is Romans 6, 1 to 4. What shall I say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Recreation. Rather sadly today, in some areas of the church, we're hearing not about recreation, we're hearing about accommodation. You can come to church, you can come to Christ, and you're falsely told you can go on as you were before, pretty much the same. Brothers and sisters, that makes a mockery of the gospel. What did Christ die for? What is to be put to death in us? And it raises a big question. Why did Paul write that verse under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? If it's about tweaking our personality just a bit here and there. No, we need recreation. We need new birth. We need a new start. And that means that we have to bring everything under the authority of the Lord Jesus. But here's the remarkable thing. That is possible. And the angels praise God before it, because they can hardly get their celestial minds round it. And if they can't, we have to say this is one of the most amazing things we will ever read in the Bible. That sinful people, people who constantly go against God's will, can be brought into his family, brought into his grace and favour. And that is the message of Christmas. But actually, as we've been seeing, that's the message of Easter. This child will go to the cross to make this possible. Palm Sunday, the crowds greeted him, but they're gone within a few days. The disciples may not have got it at time, but there was a realization that all of Scripture was pointing to this great event. If that's the case, if the gospel is about God's goodness sort of narrowing down to this point where it comes to Jesus Christ as the one, the word of God, the gospel of God, then opening up, as Luke wants us to see, us to clearly understand his evangelistic approach, going out to everyone, then we have much to rejoice with the angels over. Let's pray we do that this Easter. And let's pray as we continue to leaflet and other things in this community, that message impacts on people's hearts and minds. Let's pray.